Hello and welcome to Melopod from Not Often Heard, the show where we take a look at Melodifestivalen, Sweden's show to pick their song for the Eurovision Song Contest. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name is Alex.
We are here halfway through, guys. Halfway through.
But there's still three more to do.
There's still three more shows, including this one, for us to do. However, we are on heat number four, so that means the last batch of songs. After this, that is it. No more new Melfest music until next year.
Oh?
I don't know if the depression's going to kick in immediately after that, knowing that that's it, that's our lot. Or if the events of what happened in Malmö last night will override all of that. I'm subtitling Semi-4 Malmö, We Are Invaded, as the keeper says.
The invasion of Malmö.
Yeah, things didn't go quite according to plan in Malmö last night. I mean, we'll get around to it and we'll talk about it, I promise. Mm-hmm. We had another seven songs then, the final batch for this year, including the hotly anticipated song from Loreen, obviously, who was the winner in 2012, Euphoria.
Off of Euphoria.
Yeah. We don't talk about statements and the fact that she didn't qualify for the final in 2017 or anything, and she got knocked out at second chance. But it's fine. We'll gloss over that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shall we start with a bit of a recap of the songs? I think we should.
Yes. Yeah. It's always a good idea.
Here we go. Kiana, Where Did You Go? Signia and Hjördis, Edelweiss. Six Feet Under, Smash Into Pieces. Mariette with One Day. Emil Henron, Mira Mira Mira. Axel Schlieström, Gorgeous. And Lorraine, Tattoo. Alright, we shall deal with them in order. We shall be fair.
Yes. Yeah.
Just go straight into that was amazing. Let's talk about that. Right. So, song number one, Kiana. Where did you go? Kick us off, Mark.
Ah, okay. I liked this song, actually. I don't know what it was about it that I quite liked, because it was also a little bit repetitive. It was the same lyrics repeated over and over and over for the chorus. So it wasn't really a proper chorus, but I just thought it was quite catchy, and I thought the staging was nice. I really like the glow sticks kind of like effect that they the backing dancers had for the first verse and chorus. Mm-hmm. I quite like that. The outfit that she was wearing actually reminded me a little bit of Rey from the Star Wars films, the more recent Star Wars films, with the kind of like all like the bandages wrapped around her arms. I liked it. but I'm not entirely sure exactly why I did like it. One thing I have noticed, and it's crept in, I think, on a few songs across Europe this year, is that kind of like synth vocoder effect in the background on some of the backing lyrics. That's appeared a lot in quite a few songs across Europe.
Yeah, Denmark is the best example of that. Where people are singing on top of that vocoded backing. Whereas this one, she kind of cheated and she let the vocoder do half the chorus for her.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you reckon, Alex?
One way of doing it.
I mean, I thought it was a really nice tune. I thought the choreo was decent. I did like the glow stick effect that the dancers were doing in the first half of it. But for me, I don't know, the vocals for it were not the strongest of the evening. Mm-hmm. And I know you said it was like giving the outfit was giving you like Rey from Star Wars, but for me, with the fact that it was like white with those like pleats, it read almost kind of bridal for me.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a really weird outfit choice to give her. So, unfortunately, while it wasn't a bad song, this definitely was not my favourite of the night.
That's fair enough. I mean, she was just 16. I think she turned 16 the night she was performing.
Oh, wow.
So, very, very young competitor.
Yeah.
There, you know, literally, you know, performing, you know, just as you're eligible. Great voice, I think. You know, yes, of course, there was a couple of, you know, moments there that weren't as good as they could be. Mm. But amazing confidence and really, generally a good voice, I think, for somebody who's just literally turned 16.
Mm. And again, that choreo was fantastic. Like, when she sort of did that kind of high kick into the split bit, I was just like... That was really kind of impressive. I was just like, oh wow, well done.
Mm. And like you two, the bit with the glow stick and the kind of augmented reality part of it, the kind of fizzy bubbles that come off it, she's going up and down. I thought it was quite good as well. Nice little gimmick. Got to have a gimmick.
Need a gimmick.
But it did feel a bit like the song from Australia last year, "We're Not the Same." In the sense that just repeating the title and thinking that's a chorus is a bit of a cop-out.
Yeah. Although I will say this was a better song than Sheldon Riley in Australia last year.
Yeah. I really didn't get the hype for that last year, that one.
No, I didn't.
Wasn't my kind of thing at all. I thought it was a bit basic. This had, as I said, similar theme, but, yeah, it had a lot of good in it as well. Something I would listen to again, basically.
Yeah.
Not being written off. Okay, song number two then. This was Signia and Hjördis, Edelweiss.
Was I the only one who, for this performance, was getting very kind of like Midsommar vibes? You know that film with Florence Pugh where it's like, welcome to our festival, come and join our cult. It's very like, let's put these flowers on you and then like burn everything. Yeah. Like, the outfits were giving me very those vibes.
Oh dear. Mm-hmm. It was folk pop, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But not the kind of Timotei type folk pop which I like. unfortunately. But did you notice that they've stolen Cornelia's microphone? It's the same model, except they've got wireless versions. Why couldn't Cornelia have that? Instead of having to fling a cable around everywhere.
I can say, but that added to Cornelia's aesthetic, didn't it?
Was she just making it more complicated for herself than she needed to be? I think with that one. You know what? This, unfortunately, I think was a bit cannon fodder, but it ticks the variety box and presenting some different styles, and it's not all, you know, wall-to-wall bangers and stuff that has mass appeal. I don't think it would stand a chance anyway. Going into it, that kind of song doesn't tend to do fantastically well. But we got a key change.
We did.
Not bad.
We did.
I mean, what did you think, Mark?
Yeah, I didn't mind it. You know, I know it didn't float your boat. I didn't mind it. It was a little sapphic, shall we say. And I know they're sisters before anybody says anything. But there was definitely a vibe there. And I thought...
Do you not mean sophorific?
And the whole kind of like pre-interview when I think their grandma was there as well, that was a bit of an odd vibe as well. There was also, when they towards the end where they had their backs to each other, they were giving ABBA vibes, weren't they?
Very.
Their backs to each other.
This was very much like if Agnetha and Annifrid had been born as in the millennial age rather than...
Before pre-ABBA.
Yeah. I wrote down in my notes, it has a little bit of the season one RuPaul's Drag Race filter on it as well.
Ooh.
A little bit kind of like blurry around the edges. But I thought, you know, it was simple and cute. Mm. Not going to set the world on fire. I just say a little bit cannon fodder in this heat. But yeah. It was all right.
I mean, despite being creeped out, Alex, was it something you would listen to again?
I'd say so. I wouldn't even say I was creeped out. I would just say that the initial vibe of it made me think of that film. But as it went on, I was like, oh, this is kind of... I thought it was kind of very nice, very sort of twee little piece. So I liked it. I thought it was certainly... I certainly thought it was going to do better than it did. But we'll get to that.
Okay. Let us go into song number three. We are rattling along today. Mm. Are we all just trying to get to the inevitable?
The one we all want to talk about.
Song number three was the group Smash Into Pieces, and their song was 6 Feet Under. You can go first, Alex.
Right. First of all, couple of things. A, you know how I feel about kind of the more alternative stuff. We've talked about ones like the rock ones that appear on like Melfest and Eurovision, so you already know how I'm going to feel about this. Secondly, going back to Mark's comment about Kiana looking a bit like Rey from Star Wars, we described the drummer in the background with a face mask. We named him Kylo Rave.
Because it's kind of LED effect.
Yeah. But, you know, this is something that's, like, this genre of music is very much one of my guilty pleasure kind of things. I really liked it. I loved the aesthetic. It was giving me very sort of cyberpunk Blade Runner kind of feels with the dark outfits and the neon, like, cityscapes. I thought it was really good. I thought it was just such a good performance. They had some really great energy. I loved it.
Mm. Would you agree, Mark?
I didn't mind it, actually, at all. I thought the staging was fantastic. I like those panels that they had at like the front of the stage, the LED panels that kind of like that gave an extra dimension to the staging.
Mm.
You know what? It was a really well-performed song. Again, I think it's a really good example of the variety that you can get at Melfest. Not necessarily my cup of tea, but I quite liked it.
Yeah.
And I liked some of the lyrics. It's that kind of like dad rock, isn't it? A little bit kind of like Limp Bizkit and things like that. Not proper hardcore, but yeah. I can see why it did well.
I mean, to quote you, Mark, I'm loving it and I'm here for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I actually really it's not the normal kind of stuff I would perhaps go for, but the kind of it's synth rock, so you have that synth appeal for me, which pulls me in. The singing style, that really throaty, gravelly singing style, wouldn't be something I would be drawn to normally. But as I said, those other elements kind of pull me in, and as a package, I thought it was really well done. Exceptionally well staged. excellent visuals, like you said, those LED panels and the glitching effects that they had on it. You know, you have the gimmick is your LED mask on the drummer, which has been seen before, but, you know, with Joust, we've seen before for Norway. So nothing new in that sense at all, but I just really, really good. And something that we've not seen in Melfest, I think, in the spoilers, it does go to the final. Fun fact, Smash Into Pieces has become the first band to make it to the final, since Roland's in 2018. It's been five years since we've had a band and not just solo artists in the final. Wow,
crazy.
And the first rock act in the final since Yo-Hee-Yo in 2014.
Wow.
And, yeah, the first rock band since Dead by April in 2012. So, you know, it's something that's been missing for several years.
Yeah.
From it. But I think it was a banger. It's going to do well. I can see that having some appeal. Is it a winner? Not sure. Okay, we will move on to song number four, which is Mariette and One Day. Now, we've seen Mariette once or twice before. This is her fifth appearance.
Wow.
Her first was Don't Stop Believing in 2015. She did A Million Years in 2017. For You, with the pointy bits, in 2018. Mm-hmm. 2020 was her last appearance in Shout It Out. And she got to the final on every occasion, through one route or another.
Yeah.
Basically. So, go on then, Mark. It's Mariette. Going to be on your replay list?
I think so. I think it will be on my replay list. I do like Mariette. I think she's a really good performer. And the songs that she does for Melfest, they're always catchy. And I always kind of like the aesthetic and the way that she performs it. Having said that, with this song, although I do like it, I'm not sure about the staging and the outfit. It's all a bit beige, the outfit, and I think Mariette is anything but beige. I kind of like the sunset or like supernova effect in the background, the sunlight. That was quite cool, and I quite like the steps and that curved like stage that she's on. The outfit I wasn't 100% on. No capes, please.
No capes.
It was a catchy song. I thought it was very well performed, but perhaps slightly lacking in personality compared to some of her other songs.
Fair enough. Alex, are you in the no capes camp?
Very much so. There are two things I thought about this particularly. So there's a social media writer called Hayley DeRoche who makes fun of these kind of alternative aesthetics. She describes it as sad beige Asia aesthetics for your sad beige children. And it was giving me very that. There was a lot of nothing in that. It was all very, very one note aesthetic. Everyone was in these kind of creams and very kind of nothing colouring to it, first of all.
Yeah.
Secondly, I thought there were a lot of what I would say were quite nice ideas in terms of the staging and the choreo, but none of it was working as one cohesive thing.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah.
They were fine as separate ideas, but they didn't think they were working well together. It was a bit of a kind of an uncanny valley effect of like do I like this? Do I not like this? Is this good? Is it not? I couldn't quite vibe with it compared to her performance from, was it 2020?
Yeah, that was the last time she shouted it out.
Yeah. Compared to that, I think there was that time she had a much clearer idea of what she wanted to do, and it showed. Whereas here, things were not bad, but just a little bit confused.
Hmm. I find it interesting that we've all used the same word, because that's exactly what I put on my notes. Beige.
Hmm.
Beige. And I feel a bit like Alex does, to be honest. Beige is how I describe this. Mariette is a good performer. She's a very good singer, and she delivered a very good vocal. Mm. It reminded me a bit of Victorious by Lena Headland from 2019. Yeah. In terms of the cape and the stairs, you know, the kind of staging part of it. But it's just a beige version of that. It's a similar message. We can make it, we can do this kind of thing. But it just felt a bit sedate and flat. And I think the beige didn't help that at all.
When you look at
what the other acts were doing tonight, and she's just walking up and down a beige staircase in a beige cape while the backing dancers, you know, bop up and down in beige and slide up and down ramps. It starts to fade into the background. I'm sorry. And you know, Mariette is a good performer. I'm not saying that it wasn't a good performance. The song wasn't bad either. The staging left a lot to be desired. I think she could have done something different with that, that maybe would have elevated it.
Mm.
Oh, sorry. A bit of a downer there on poor old Mariette.
I think with someone like Mariette, though, you know her caliber, you know how good she can be. And so I think you do have higher expectations, don't you? You probably shouldn't. You should try and treat everybody equally, really. But, you know, we are only human, and I think we're bound to compare her to her other songs. And as you say, whilst it was not a terrible song, and it was certainly it was very, very well sung, it was just a little bit, this is nice.
Yeah. On to song number 5, then. Emil Henron. Mira, mira, mira.
Mira, mira, mira.
I'll go first.
More, more, more.
Camp, camp, camp.
Yes.
That's my headline.
Yeah, that's my thought. As soon as I figured out that it was like more, 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 my brain just went, how do you like it? How do you like it? This was the gayest thing that we've had on Melfest so far. Like, and I mean that in the nicest possible way.
It was really good, wasn't it? The pink and blue colour scheme that he had going on really popped. You know, maybe this is just coming off the back of the beigeness of Mariette.
Yeah.
But this was really colourful. He may not have been the best vocalist of the night, but it's got a cool little dance routine, and he's got the choreo going. He's got that vocal hook, that mura mura mura, you know, which you can all shout along with. It was a good show. It was a good package.
Yeah.
You feel the same, Mark?
Yeah. It was. I really liked it. It was very camp. The pink and blue, I thought, reminded me of the trans colours and the trans flag.
Uh-huh.
The backing dancers really lifted the performance with him as well. One thing I will say is, hasn't he got thick eyebrows?
He does. He has the thickest eyebrows I have ever seen.
You know what? There are some people out there who would kill for those eyebrows, and they can only achieve them with pencils.
Good song, very camp. It was, you know, I'm here for it, I'm loving it. But I knew that it wasn't going to do much business. But yeah, I still enjoyed it. You know, I would have liked to have seen that in the final.
Do we have a consensus, Alex? Are you thinking the same thing?
Yeah, like, after the beigeness of Mariette's, this thing just hits you in the face like a firework. It's incredible. Just, it's sparkly, it's glittery, there's voguing, it's just, it's so fantastic. And I was really disappointed that it did not do better, as we will get to.
Yes. So, yes, I think that's one of our faves of the night, even if it didn't do as well as we would like it to.
Mm-hmm.
Song number six, then. Axel Schliestrom and Gorgeous. We have seen Axel before, mainly as a songwriter, really. He performed as an artist in 2017 with When No One Sees. He was a writer in 2018 with Moncho Cupa Libre. Last year, As You Wish by Teos, Somme de Ville. And he's also one of the writers behind More of You, Teos's entry for this year as well.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, he's no stranger, perhaps known more as a writer. And just a bit of backstory. So, in 2012, he climbed on top of a train, apparently, and came into contact with a live power line.
Right.
Getting 16,000 volts shooting through him and causing 70% of his body to be burned. That's he looks how he is. So when he's thinking about Gorgeous and trying to tell people, you look amazing, you look gorgeous, you look beautiful to me, I just think because of the backstory, there's that extra layer.
Yes.
On top of that.
Definitely.
I got kind of shades of John Lundvik from it, particularly the part where his four backing singers are surrounding him and singing to him. That was very much John Lundvik and the Mamas back in 2019. That was kind of the vibe from the staging I was getting. But I think it's a nice song. I like the song. And I think in an earlier heat, this might have done a bit better. What did you think, Alex?
Now that you bring up the John Lundvik thing, I definitely see it. Like, there's definitely a lot of the same vibes in this performance. You know, the fact that we know that he's gone through all of what he's gone through does add that extra layer. And the fact that and the way the costume they chose for it, while I'm not particularly fond of what they've put him in, like, I wasn't really fond of the colour or the material that they put him in for this outfit. The fact that he felt confident enough to wear something that is so revealing, particularly revealing of all, like, his burn scars and things like that, I think that takes a lot more confidence than even, like, some of the, like, really young people who might be starting that, because it's not just dealing with getting up on stage and singing. It's also addressing a lot of for Axel is probably a lot of pain and a lot of trauma that's wrapped up in that. And it that is definitely felt through that song.
Yeah. I thought
that added so much to the performance. So, you know, well done. Fantastic job, Axel.
Mark?
Yeah, I think I really like the message. It's a great message for, I think, anybody that's lacking in confidence or, you know, have any sorts of disabilities that they might be struggling with. It doesn't matter, you're gorgeous. You do you, and you are beautiful inside and out. The message was great. The vocals I thought were pretty good, and he did hit that really high note towards the end, which I was like, wow, that's great.
Oh, yeah, that
I love
high
that.
Note.
Yeah. And, you know, the backing images were all of him in shadow and in dark, you know, again, displaying those scars for all to see. I'm not completely sure that all of the moves he was giving fit the song necessarily. But a good performance. And as you say, in a different heat, I think that better than what it did do.
Yeah. Mm. Right. Are we ready to tackle the big one?
The one we'll be waiting for.
Which one was that? What kind of that, Gary? I thought we'd done them all. Is there another one to come?
Whichever could it be?
We could just stop now, couldn't we? So.
And.
11 years after winning Melfest and 6 years after giving it another go, Loreen was back with Tattoo. And I have not seen so much hype for an artist, you know, even before they performed, for quite a while. Yeah. It was nuts the way the fan community was raving over just the fact that she was coming back, you know, set people convinced that she was going to win it all, and they hadn't heard a second of her song. They were just like, no, this is it, it's Loreen, of course it's going to be brilliant.
Yeah, and she'll win. It's good, of course.
So there's going to be massive expectation on her. Massive. Mm-hmm. And that puts pressure on.
Yeah.
And she's got some stellar writing talent behind this as well. Mm-hmm. When you look at, we've got Cassiopeia from last year. Just Can't Get Enough. We love that song.
Yeah.
Also, she was the writer of the winning American Song Contest entry as well. You've got Thomas Gearson on there. You've got Jimmy Jansen on there, who's really been coming through as a songwriter. And Jimmy Joker Thornfeld as well. So that is the cream of the crop, pretty much, I think, in a writing team. So, but it didn't go according to plan, did it?
No, it did not.
So, for the first time ever, I believe, at Melfest, we had a stage invasion. Because I think when you were watching it at home, Mark, you hadn't quite noticed what had gone on.
No.
And it's only when I messaged and you went, there was a stage invader?
What? Really? What? Was there? We didn't notice that at all.
It was, I think, well, because of the way the performance is, and we will talk about this when we actually get onto the kind of the restart, it's in shadow a lot, and you're not seeing many wide shots. It's all quite close up and tight on her. Mm-hmm. And you're watching it, and then I saw a figure appear, and it'd be about a minute or so in, and this figure appears on the left-hand side of the screen, and they're holding something, and I thought at first it was a camera person that got in shot, and I thought, oh, that's a shame. You know, this has all been carefully choreographed, and, you know, they've mistimed something and somebody's wandered in.
Oh, yes, I can see it now, just on the clip that you played in the background. I've just seen it,
That's it. And then you see these couple of wide shots, and you go, whoa, it's somebody holding a banner, but it's so dark, you can't see what's on that banner, and you kind of just see them kind of tumbling off the side of the stage as security's going up and grabbing them. And then they cut to a wide shot of the auditorium. Mm-hmm. Because at that point, and we've talked about the kind of, just from a technical perspective very briefly, the way these shows are done, they use a system called QPilot, which is a program which basically cuts the shots for you, program it, and say camera one, camera five for 6 seconds, then camera two for 2 seconds. And instead of, you know, back in the old days, thinking like how Doctor Who was done with multi-camera studio, you've got a vision mixer, haven't you, who's pressing the buttons and switching shot to shot. Top of the Pops was done that manual vision mixer, who's having to be hot on the buttons to create an exciting sequence. It's all done by computer now, and it's all programmed in. It just relies on the camera people hitting their marks and getting to the right places, and the camera cranes being in the right position. The computer does the rest and just cut, and brings up all the right shots in the right order that you've constructed your performance as. And so when something like that happens, you have to take QPilot off and go into manual mode, which is why they cut to the wide shot, because obviously you didn't want somebody wandering in and looking worse and getting their message on screen. So you're like, quick, you know, disable QPilot, get cut to wide. And then what do? You go, well, because she was still singing. She was carrying on.
Yeah.
you know, you can't then just go, well, quick, flick Q-Pilot back on again and we'll just go straight back into the program and we'll pick it up. You know, your Q-Pilot's all a mess. Now, your camera people could be in the wrong positions because of what's been happening on stage. So you could be taking shots of people's feet, the ceiling. You know, it could all be... From a technical perspective, it's a nightmare because you've programmed it all and it's all programmed in on the computer and then suddenly you've had to take it out and you can't possibly do it manually and recreate that because you haven't rehearsed that. It's all been computer controlled. So I don't think there was anything else they could do apart from stop the performance. I thought at first they were just going to let her carry on because, as I said, she was carrying on, not dropping a beat. And I thought, this is a shame. They're staying on the wide shot and they've not gone back in and let her carry on. And then they just pulled the plug and she was like, oh, the music stopped. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. And then we get this awful filler
burgers or something.
It's a bun in a bun. Brûlée de brûlée.
Okay.
It's where you put like a chocolate bun in a bread roll. Basic, I think, is what they're saying.
Oh, well, yes, of course, yeah.
So you get this kind of rabbit in headlights moment where Jesper and Farrah are like, so we've had a little problem and we're going to do it again. In the meantime, whilst, you know, we get everything back in, you know, get the smoke going and lower the sandwich back down again and get everything reset, we're going to talk to the audience. And they just like get shoved a microphone and like, you can just imagine. The gallery going, just fill, keep going, we're not ready.
Fill. Who's Phil?
And not, as a presenter, that is a nightmare scenario. You are flung on camera and told, just fill while we get ready again. You have no scripts, nothing.
Anything.
It's a bit silly, considering they got a VT package that was going to go on later on, you know, a little skit that was pre-recorded. I maybe would have flung that on and gone, you know what, here's a funny sketch thing, and we'll sort it out later. Anyway, so, take two. Let's talk about the song itself. Come on then, Alex. Was it everything you wanted and more?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, I loved what Loreen was wearing. It made me. It was sort of like a weird cross between like Lilo from
Fifth Element,
and like the Swamp Witch from The Dark Crystal. But it was like, but it suited her so well. She looked absolutely amazing. The nails. Those nails. How was she able to do any kind of normal human function with those nails?
Right. Is it any coincidence that she was seen in a preview clip of Drag Race Sfalia, which is premiering next week, as one of the judges? She has stolen those nails off a queen.
Also, I thought again the beat was really good. The lyrics were amazing. Her just general performance was fantastic. And you can tell, and I know we've only heard her creative process twice in Melfest history, but it feels like going back to Cassiopeia, you could hear those elements of it in this song. Like in the chorus, when she sings the tattoo, she does like that three note bit. Which made me think absolutely of Cassiopeia's song from last year, I Can't Get Enough. You know, she's like, tattoo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was the only movie thing. That's got to be, that's a Cassiopeia moment if I ever heard one. But no, I thought it absolutely deserved the hype it got. It's such a good song. And the lyrics fantastic. The performance was really great. She looked amazing. This is absolutely a Loreen performance at Eurovision. I thought it was amazing.
Are you as enthusiastic, Mark?
Yeah, it's just a fully formed package from the get-go, isn't it? It's like she walked into an office and said, this is what I'm going to sing. This is how I'm going to perform it. This is what I'm going to wear. This is how we're going to stage it. And these are the camera shots. And this is what we're going to do. And everybody's just gone, yeah, all right then. It's like fully formed.
Mm.
All of the other songs in Melfest this year, even though some of them have been, yeah, some of them have been very good, but even those very good ones, I've thought, a few tweaks here and there maybe. But, you know, this one, you could lift it from Malmö last night and plonk it straight onto the Liverpool stage.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be perfect straight away.
Yeah.
You've got not going to do anything to it, have you?
No. I'd be like, 10 out of 10. Yeah. 10 out of 10. Good. No notes.
Yeah. Just do it the same. I think, you know, she's... I think rightly so that Sweden has jumped right to the top of the odds for Eurovision, for winning Eurovision with that song. And I think every other country has probably gone, oh, bugger.
I mean,
going back to sort of the drag race themes, for anyone who's listening who might have watched season 15, it gave me what I'm coining now as the Sasha Colby effect. Someone who just comes in with such a high level of like skill and reputation and talent that everything else just sort of pales in your comparison. You just think, why would anyone else bother? Like if I was anyone else from Kiana to Axel and I saw Loreen come in on my heat to perform, I'd just have been like, that's it, I'm out.
Yeah.
I mean, it is similar in structure to Euphoria.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the bit where she goes a little bit quiet at the bridge and then explodes for that final chorus. You know, it's got shades of Frozen by Madonna in it. She delivers, she can sing it well. Like you said, she's fantastic with the stage concept and the whole thing about being squashed between two blocks, sandwich, as I keep calling it, and her kind of pushing
Loreen
it and
Sarney.
Breaking out and her, you know, getting her freedom, you know, from being squashed by the sandwich. She's come to win. She absolutely is coming to win. She doesn't need it necessarily. She's already cemented a place in Eurovision history and Melfest history.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to do this, but she wants to do it. You know, she heard the song and was like, yes, I want to do that.
Yeah.
It's going to go down as a classic in Eurovision circles, even if by some weird twist of fate, it doesn't win Melfest.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Loreen. We had an interval act, which consisted of some very odd Avatar kind of sketch.
That was just weird. We also saw Oscar again, didn't we?
Oh,
very
yes.
Briefly.
He popped up again.
It was so nice to see Oscar again. I really enjoyed his presenting last year. I thought, it was good.
He had a rough week, first week or so, as he said at the time, where the app crashed and stuff. But they just made a joke of it. They did really well, actually.
Yeah.
Him and Farrow are a good team.
Yeah.
And we also, part of the interval app, we got Carola marking 40 years since she won Melfest with Fremling, doing a bit of a medley of all of her Melfest hits. But to be honest, it was a similar kind of thing to what she did 20 years ago in 2003. They invited her back to sing a bit of a medley. And the 2003 medley was better, in all honesty. Nobody wants a ballad version of Fongadov and Stormvind, Carola. Nobody.
No.
But it was very much, she was like, I am your deity, you will worship me.
Yeah, Queen Carola.
Yeah, I know you've just seen Loreen, but I was here first 40 years ago. Me, I am the Queen of Melfest.
Not the usurper.
She's only done it 3 times. She's on like 5 or 6 times. Oh dear. Anyway, that was all filler because we wanted to find out what the result was going to be.
What an anticlimax that was.
So that, yes, they announced the leader of the vote, and going straight to the final. Was there any doubt that it was going to be Louis?
No. And I think they knew as well, because they didn't even try to drum up any tension whatsoever, did they? It was like, and the first director finale is Lorraine.
We all knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Why delay the inevitable?
It's, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, basically. Yeah, we're like, no surprises here. This is playing
whatsoever.
Out as we expected so far. Yeah. So off Lorraine goes to the final, and we'll see if she gets the pimp slot there and gets the last performance of the night in the final. Mm. And then voting round two, we find that Smash Into Pieces and 6 Feet Under also go direct to finale, 79 points. Mm-hmm. Accumulated there. I'm happy about that. I thought they might not get to the final. There might be a second chancer.
Yeah, I was surprised they were as popular as what they were. Mm. But yeah, I thought they would have gotten through to at least second chance anyway.
And then our second chancers, sorry, semi-finalists as they keep calling it.
Yes, yeah.
No, it's Delandra Hansen. Kiana, where did you go? It was 69 points.
Mm-hmm.
And Mariette, one day with 56 points. Would you have picked those two?
I probably, you see, I did like both of those songs, but I would have liked to have seen Emil go through just because it was so fun.
Yeah.
Same.
That's but just, I did like the two preference. That disqualified.
Yeah. Axel was very close to going through to the semi-final with just 55 points, just 1 point behind Mariette. So that was knife edge, that going right down to the wire. And I thought, after the shock non-qualification of Victoria a week or two back, I honestly thought, could we have the same situation here with Mariette? And she doesn't quite make it to second chance and gets eliminated for the first time.
Yeah.
But no, it wasn't.
No.
Didn't play out like that. So we say goodbye to Axel, Signe and Hjördis and Emil. But they will live on our playlist.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Right, can we talk about this whole semi-final as a whole?
Yes, of
the
course.
Heat. The heat, not the semi-final. Sorry, I keep using the wrong words. I personally wouldn't have minded seeing all seven of those songs go through and perform in the final.
Oh, did you feel that, as we said earlier, that maybe some of these songs, if they'd been placed in an earlier heat, would have progressed?
Yeah, I feel that the producers of Melfest have dropped the ball a little bit here and have put too many good songs in this last heat.
Mm.
And I think they should have spread them out a little bit more. I don't know what their reasoning was. I don't know if they perhaps thought, Loreen's is such a good song, so we need to put some good competition up against her. Otherwise, it's just going to be a complete whitewash. But that's not the right word. But I just feel like some of those songs were really strong and they should have been given the chance to go through if they had been in an earlier heat.
Yeah.
And when especially the first two heats were so meh, I think, I don't think they planned it as well as they could have done this year.
Yeah, there was an imbalance there.
Yes, definitely. There was.
We just want Mirah to progress. Like, if we put that in week one, it'd at least be in second chance.
We don't ask for much, just that the right person gets through.
Well, I mean, that's it. All 28 songs are now known. We know who's going through to the second chance round. And actually, if I can find it, I can actually tell you, because they very quickly released the running order. For what was? Where is it?
Here we go. I think I found it.
Oh, you found it. Do you want to? If you, because I haven't. If you want to read it out, what's the running order for second chance?
So our running order is going to be Teos first with Meravdig.
Oh yeah.
I'm not going to pronounce. Then Mariette.
Oh, okay.
Victor Crone.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Tennessee Tears.
Oh. Oh, definitely. Mirai, instead of Tennessee Tears, please.
Yeah.
Sorry, Alex. Carry on.
Elov and Benny.
Oh, yes.
Melanie Waver.
Oh, yeah. She was from last week.
Yeah.
Nordman.
Yes.
And then Kiana, last.
Oh, okay. So, definitely a few that I would substitute with some songs from this week. I think you're right, Mark.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, exciting as we can head into the semi-final then, and we'll find out who's going to get to the final two slots.
Oh.
And if anything can beat Loreen at this stage. Ooh.
Yeah.
Big question mark. We shall see. Right, that is about it for this edition. We shall see you on the next one, where we hopefully will feel slightly better about some of these songs, hearing them like a second time, and maybe change our opinion. I expect next episode to be a bit shorter.
Yes.
Okay, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.